The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 13 degrees and rainy at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Shiroma Jesse-Wedu, and here are today's headlines. Mobilizing relief for hurricane victims, giving a voice to the homeless, and consumers to make difficult choices. Hurricane Fiona has wreaked havoc in eastern Canada, leaving hundreds of thousands of people without electricity. The Canadian government and the Canadian Red Cross are providing help. Russell Tellier is investigating. Russell, what is the Canadian Red Cross doing to help hurricane victims?
Dan Bedell of the Canadian Red Cross was reached for comment. He said his organization is helping victims in different ways, including by raising funds and providing material supplies, such as blankets, shelters, and cots. Of all the provinces, New Brunswick has been the least impacted by Hurricane Fiona.
So five provinces had impacts. The Red Cross was involved in all five, primarily and initially in providing resources and in some cases our own personnel to emergency shelters for people.
What is the Canadian government doing to help victims of the hurricane?
The federal government has deployed 100 Canadian soldiers in each of the three provinces that requested military aid: Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, and Newfoundland and Labrador. The soldiers are helping to clean debris in devastated communities.
Of the Victoria Park Armories on Cape Breton Island, the members are drawn primarily from the 5th Canadian Division, 36th Canadian Brigade Group Direct Response Company. In addition, a domestic response company of Canadian Armed Forces Reservists has been set up in Cape Breton and is now working closely with emergency management personnel to see how the Canadian Armed Forces can continue to assist throughout the province.
Russell, two Quebec party leaders are visiting the area of Quebec hit by the hurricane.
CAQ leader François Legault and the head of the Parti Québécois, Paul Saint-Pierre Plamondon, visited the islands on Monday to assess the situation. They talked to affected people and explained how to support the islands for recovery efforts.
Thank you, Russell, for your report. A pedestrian was hit near the intersection of René Lévesque and Guy earlier this morning. The 25-year-old man was rushed to the hospital, where he remains in critical condition. The 72-year-old driver was treated for shock. The driver was headed eastbound on a green light before the collision occurred. The investigation is ongoing. Almost half of healthcare workers are burnt out. That's the alarming result of a new study in Montreal. What does that mean for healthcare workers and patients? Ashka Patel looks into the story for us.
40% of the public healthcare workers are burnt out. Shelby Adams, a nurse in the Montreal area, tells us more about the situation in her workplace.
And for sure, mental health-wise, it can be hard because you never know what you're going to walk into. Nursing itself is a hard job at its base because, you know, you're dealing with sick people. You don't know what can happen. But it's made unnecessarily way more difficult when you're juggling the fact that you have an unsafe assignment. You're juggling the fact that you have the supplies you need.
The difficulty is not only faced on an individualistic level, but the union is also facing a problem to keep their staff. The vice president of the CSQ union, Fanny Caltour, talks about the situation.
In the last year, we have hired 20 new people, and out of those people, 10 of them left because it wasn't paying enough. The conditions were too harsh. Too much forced overtime. So all of those things are just, you know, making it all more difficult to hire and to keep the people that we're hiring.
The question remains, would the conditions become better for the healthcare providers with the end of the pandemic? Ashka Patel from Concordia News.
It's a race for second in the upcoming provincial election. Currently, the Quebec Solidaire, the Liberal Party, the Parti Québécois, and the Conservative Party have found themselves in a four-way tie. The CAQ has maintained their lead with 37% of voter support, while the other four parties find themselves trailing each other by 1%. With François Legault positioned as a clear favorite to win the election, one question remains: who will be the official opposition? Homeless people's issues are invisible in the provincial election. However, two Quebec solidarity networks want things to change. Our reporter, Clément Lachat, talked to the head of the homeless lobby group, RSIQ. Première Vallée d'Or said, Dahl says that not in my backyard phenomenon is not new. It gained magnitude during the pandemic when community organizations offered shelter to homeless people.
Do you have an example to share?
There was a lot of citizens that were not comfortable seeing those organizations coming in their neighborhood, even if there was needs identified in those places. And we had example of organization that had to move about 3 or 4 times.
Is the situation better today than in the past?
I don't think we'll be able to say that the situation will be better before the rights of those people are respected. And that's why our platform is based on the right to access housing, to have great income, to cover the basic needs, to be able to access health services.
You launched a platform to prevent and reduce homelessness in Quebec. What is the most important measure that you want to see implemented?
Homelessness is a complex phenomena. There is no easy solution to prevent and reduce homelessness in Quebec. That's why our platform is based on 5 thematics. Access to affordable housing. We feel that we need to have income that make people available to cover their basic needs. We think that the droit de cité, people must be able to be in the street and not be being covered by tickets. We need to have a network that is ready and well-financed, the right to access medical support or any help services must be maintained.
That was Clément Lachat talking to the chief executive of RSIQ, Première Vallée d'Or. Pamphlet theft is becoming a serious issue in this election. Marie-Yves Rancourt, the Quebec Solidaire candidate for the Camille Laurent riding, resigned from the race just 1 week shy of the election. She was caught removing a Parti Québécois flyer from a mailbox by a doorbell camera. Initially, she apologized on social media. However, she has since decided to forego her campaign. To reduce the use of single plastic and their impact on the environment, the City of Montreal is implementing a ban on plastic bags for businesses across the city. Our reporter, Tatiana Moudoyer-Patillier, joins us from an NDG grocery store. Tatiana, can you tell us more about what the ban entails?
Yes, restaurant grocery stores and retail business will not be allowed to distribute plastic bags starting today. The law was passed in September 2021, but the transition period ends today. I spoke with business owners, and they told me that while they support the ban, they do believe that they're going to be affected. Here's what this NDG dev owner has to say.
For me, it is, it's really they affected. Especially they have some people, it's selfish, they don't bring it the bag. But with the environmental, I'm agreed to be stop the plastic bags. Yeah, I don't mind, yeah.
So, small businesses are having a hard time with the ban. Is it the same story for bigger grocery stores?
No, in fact, it seems to be going rather well for big chain grocery stores. I spoke with the Provigo manager today, and he explained to me that they stopped distributing plastic bags before the ban even came into effect. Here's the clip.
We were ahead of our time. We did 3 weeks ago. We started August 27, I'm pretty sure. And honestly, it hasn't made a difference. Customers will ask, oh, you have no more bags. They won't complain that much. But we have an alternative that's 35 cents for a reusable bag. So it's still a cheap option, but there hasn't been much of a difference with customers.
Does the city have any other measures to cut back on the use of plastic?
Yes, in fact, this is the first phase of the project. Phase 2 will be implemented in March 2023 and will ban 8 other single-use plastic items such as plastic cutlery, food containers, cups, and straw. By reducing the use of plastic, Montreal hopes to improve the fight against climate change.
Thank you, Tatiana, for your report. Inflation trends combined with the pandemic, employment issues, have made it harder for Canadians to get a hold of their expenses. Intentional spending is when you are careful, when you carefully select what to spend your money on when you're on a tighter budget. Recent studies show Canadians are feeling this pressure. Our reporter, Lucia Cassinier, has a story.
This morning, a study conducted by the Interact Corporation shows that Canadians are spending less money due to the inflation and other factors that affect our society. Concordia News spoke with Nader Henin, a joint VP for Interact Corp. Here's what he had to say.
It is important to remember the real issue here, right? Where we've kind of with the steady inflation and rising interest rates adding to the pressure on households, Canadians are feeling pressured and squeezed financially. And more than half saying inflation is making it difficult to afford things they need.
Following this interview, we also got in touch with Eric Kingsley, the emergency director for Sun Youth. He sees the impact of inflation and financial difficulty every day through his organization.
We've seen an increase oscillating between 25 and 20% this summer and going into the fall. A lot of those people are new to our food bank. Our biggest populations are coming from Montreal North, from Park X, Odenaish, Plateau, Rosemont, so the center of the island. That's where a lot of our clients are coming from. Food is the biggest activity that we're doing. We're seeing 100 families a day.
This is Lucia Cassanier for Concordia News.
The Canadian Museums Association just released a report to advance the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's call to action. Simon Fournet joins us now with more. So Simon, what are some of the demands of the report?
So the report is asking the federal government for funding to review Canadian policies and practices in partnership with Indigenous peoples and make recommendations for the sector to become more compliant with the rights of Indigenous people.
Are museums already doing enough to center Indigenous people's voices regarding this issue?
So museums are being asked to take action, but for now it's really been up to them to make decisions regarding Indigenous art and artifacts, and so it really depends on the museum. I talked to Perrette Subtil from the Musée des Métiers d'Art du Québec. She says her museum is trying to get more Indigenous artifacts to exhibit in order to be more representative of Québec's savoir-faire, but she explains that they wish to do it in the most respectful way possible.
Everything is a question of with who we will work and how we will work. But I'm sure that we won't talk without them, and we won't talk for them.
What do Indigenous communities think about this report?
Some Indigenous organizations actually demand that these artifacts be returned to their original communities. But for most Canadian museums, this has yet to take place. I talked to Nakuset, the executive director of the Native Women's Shelter in Montreal. She says Indigenous communities want to see concrete action.
Hi, everyone. We're making the announcement that we are now going to be, you know, removing, you know, the displays, giving them back, and by this year, everything will be returned to the community. That is what I want to see. Talking about it with no plan is just blah, blah, blah.
This report took 7 years to finish, but this isn't the only sector that is slow on the Truth and Reconciliation Commission calls to action. There were 94 calls to action, but for now only a small portion of them have been completed.
Thanks, Simon. And now, on to sports. The Habs' number one overall draft pick shines in the loss against the New Jersey Devils. Monday Night Football ends in a dramatic fashion, and the U.S. women's basketball team breaks a scoring record in a crushing victory against South Korea. Louise Brun-Newhook has all your sports news.
A good job by Jake Allen. He was perfect in his time in this game as Clark. Look at it, tucking it short side, and he does! He scores!
The Montreal Canadiens dropped their preseason opener last night in a tough loss against New Jersey. After going up 1-0, the Devils stormed back with two unanswered goals, silencing the Bell Center crowd. But not entirely. Number one overall pick Juraj Slafkovský received a loud ovation after delivering a promising performance. The preseason will wrap up on October 8th, with the season starting a few days later.
Little stutter step move by Parsons. Jones fires, and the pass is intercepted by Diggs.
The Cowboys took down the Giants 23-16 in Monday Night Football's only game. After a big defensive battle in the first half, CeeDee Lamb led a stunning second half surge, finishing with 8 catches for 75 yards and an amazing one-handed touchdown grab. But it was an interception by Trevon Diggs late in the fourth quarter that sealed the deal for the Cowboys. This victory moves Cooper Rush to 3-0 as an NFL starter, the fourth Dallas quarterback to do so. In different sports news altogether, a top-tier athlete has accused an opponent of cheating in a stunning scandal. The sport? Chess. Grandmaster Magnus Carlsen resigned after just one move, but would not disclose how his opponent allegedly swindled the game. Suspicious, if you ask me.
Victories here for the Americans.
final score 145-69.
And finally, the U.S. women's basketball team broke hearts and records in their stunning 145-69 win against South Korea last night. This breaks the team's own record of 143 points in international competition against Brazil in 1990. No wonder, though. The team is made up of 12 WNBA players who tower over the undersized Koreans. This marks the team's 26th consecutive win, and with vertically challenged opponents in their upcoming games, it doesn't seem like they'll slow down anytime soon. And that's all your news in sports.
After declining to perform at the Super Bowl in 2019, Rihanna has finally come out of her hiatus. Pop Montreal is back for its 20th year in a row, featuring artists from all over the world. Sad news for Star Wars fans, James Earl Jones, who has been the voice of Darth Vader since 1977, has officially retired. Jessica Jakubowicz has all your arts news and all your arts and entertainment news.
Fans have been waiting for Rihanna to come out with new music, as her last album was in 2016. The pop star has been focused on her makeup line, Fenty Beauty, and music seemed to be the last thing on her mind. The star has been seen coming in and out of studios, and fans started to speculate that she was finally working on new music. Rihanna dropped the news that she was performing at the Super Bowl halftime show by putting a picture of her holding a football on Instagram, and the whole internet blew up. This comes shortly after the news that Taylor Swift had declined performing. We'll see what kind of performance she puts on and if there will be new music from the artist as well. Pop Montreal is an international music festival that gives a stage to Montreal artists as well as artists from all around the world. It's a not-for-profit event and showcases amazing talent. While the festival is primarily music-related, there's also film and art pieces that will be displayed. The festival gives the stage to around 400 artists and pulls in an audience of around 60,000 people every year. The tickets for the five-day festival are $200, but if you're a student, they are only $99. The festival starts tomorrow and ends October 2nd. In other music news, Adam Levine's cheating scandal isn't getting in the way of his music career. His band Maroon 5 have just announced their Las Vegas residency that will be starting at the end of March. Tickets are planned to go on sale October 3rd, and we'll see if his fans are still as supportive as they were before his scandal. A legend in the Star Wars world has retired from voicing Darth Vader. James Earl Jones is well known from not only Star Wars, but also from being the voice for Mufasa in The Lion King. Jones has been the voice of Darth Vader since the franchise started in 1977. The actor's voice will live on through an AI program that will recreate his famous voice so that Darth Vader will still sound the same as he has for decades. Lastly, in other news and film, video game fans have been buzzing since the new trailer of The Last of Us has come out. Seeing how well other zombie shows have done, like The Walking Dead, this will surely be a success, especially with their star-studded cast, including Pedro Pascal. There's been a lot of expectation from fans of this TV adaptation, and HBO has finally made their dreams come true. And that's all your news for arts.
Thank you, Jessica. Concordia University is reaching for the stars. The Concordia Space Club, a multidisciplinary association with over 200 students, recently entered into a partnership with Montreal-based company JR Tech Solutions. The retail technology company will provide the Space Concordia Laboratory with essential material to build their next rocket. Expect the rain to continue on into tomorrow, but don't worry, the sun will come back out Thursday and will be there and throughout the weekend, but make sure to bring a jacket because the high will remain around 15 degrees. That's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Sharoma Jesse-Wadio.